Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Took a walk upon the park late last night. I don't know. This story is good enough to tell, Mike. I meant to get here early, and I couldn't get here early, and I'll explain that. But when I got here, we tried to set this up on the. I'm looking at where's the clock, where's the camera on this thing over here?
Yeah.
All right, there on the side, and we're using an iPad in the process today, and it didn't work at first, so. Mike says, go get your phone. We did it last week with the phone. And I said, oh, my phone is in my car. It's way up. And, of course, I went all the way upstairs to the car to get my phone. And guess what? The phone was in my pocket the whole time.
Nice.
How can you reach down and feel your pocket like I am right now and not feel this big phone in it? I don't know. Anyway, it's Brian Beebe, and I'm going to relax and do another one of my podcasts brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, 6 locations in Wisconsin, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness, a beautiful Italian restaurant in Wisconsin Dells, where I've been playing for 10 years. I'm not going to say anything about my association with Robin Zander in the old days, because people have told me that it's kind of a... like, maybe I say that too much. In my personal life, the last 35 years, I have not said much about it at all. But it seems like now that I'm working in Madison and doing these podcasts, it seems like it's sort of relevant again, just explaining who I am. Today, I'm going to try to talk mostly, and I do get sidetracked, but I want to talk mostly about songs that have lasted for generations and why they last for generations. And you, I'm sure, just a minute, I want to figure out where that camera is, have songs that you have loved for a long time, or your parents loved. And I'm hoping that my son calls in and represents the younger generation. You can call in. The number is 608-210-1667, and tell us what it is about songs that have lasted for years and years, and which songs you think from nowadays will be around 50 or 100 years from now, and why. That's kind of what I'm interested in, pop music, and I say pop music, and that has had bad connotations over the years. Popular music, and that's nothing wrong with popular music, but that was shortened down to pop music back in the 70s, 60s and 70s, and it kind of got the flavor of, in my day we called it bubblegum or teeny bopper music. And believe it or not, I kind of like some of the bubblegum teeny bopper music. If I had to describe my musical style in my act, I would call it more classic fluff, more than classic rock or classic pop. Anyway, I do songs like, why do you build me up, buttercup, baby, just to let me down, and stuff like that. And I do, baby, now that I found you, I can't let you go, I'll build my... And I do a lot of Motown, but I don't do things like Cloud Nine or Papa Was a Rolling Stone, this dark stuff. I do Sugar Pie Honey Bunch, don't you know I do love you, can't, you know, that kind of, and ain't no mountain high enough, ain't no valley low enough, ain't no river wide enough to keep me from you, you know, that's classic fluff. That's everybody can, you kind of have a hard time hating music like that. But I have played for a lot of years in Florida for people my parents' age, and songs like that came out of the World War II era and even before that, that have lasted and lasted, you know, the cream of the crop songs. Somewhere, oh, over the rainbow. Now, that song has been done over and over and over again, and that's why it's continued to be popular. But that was a song written in 1938 and came out in that movie. What was the name of that movie? Oh, yeah, Wizard of Oz in 1939. So, but a guy just did that a few years ago. In a kind of a cool reggae style. What was it? Izzy was his name.
Oh, yeah.
Great big Samoan guy, and he did, ooh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly, and the bird. You know, and it was cool, and every time somebody does an old song like that over again, it gives it new legs, and that's why, a new life, and that's why so many of them have lasted for 50 or 100 years. I mean, you listen to songs like I'll Be With You in Apple Blossom Time. Bad example. How about, I'm trying to think of one that's really old, like You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine, from the turn of the last century. Now, why is that still familiar to everybody, young and old, nowadays? Well, it gets sung. It gets sung at parties. It gets re-recorded by different people. I'm going to think of another example here, just a minute. I'm going to tell some jokes today, too, but how about this? Sinatra does a lot of these, and Mitch Hank is listening. I hope you... how about, when somebody loves you, it's no good unless he loves you all the way. Or, that's life. That's what all the people say. You know that one, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
Shot down in April. You're riding high in April, and you get shot down in May. Now, here's a young guy that knows that song, and it's 40 years old.
For sure.
Yeah, so, I mean... how about, I left my heart in San Francisco. You know that one?
Yeah, I've heard it.
Yeah, you've heard it. And why? Because it's still around, and it has to be a good song. San Francisco, by way of example, was a song that Tony Bennett recorded in 1962, and he didn't really want to record that. It was laying around in a dresser drawer for a long time, and I don't know whose dresser it was, office drawer. No, they sat on that song for like 5 years, and finally Ralph Sharon, who was Tony Bennett's piano player, insisted that he record it because he liked it, and they put it on the B side of a record, and it turned out to be a huge hit. It's Tony Bennett's signature song. I left my heart in San Francisco, you know, and it'll probably be around a little bit longer. I do have some well-founded fears that songs from our parents' and grandparents' generations will fade away. Lots of the great ones are not being played and not being listened to and re-recorded by people now. Do you know this one, Mike? I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places. That's a World War II classic song. And I used to tell the joke that there must have been a ton of sailors, you know, in these harbor bars telling women, I'm sailing off to sea tomorrow to war.
Yeah.
I might not come back. I might get killed. So this is the last time we might see each other. You know, and hoping to get a little before he gets on the boat, you know. And the old that song was perfect for that. A World War II song, so sentimental. I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through.
Oh, yeah,
in that small cafe The park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut. How could a woman not melt in the arms of a soldier going off to war? Listen to that. And I'll be looking at the moon. This is the big closer. I'll be looking at the moon, but I'll be seeing you. Now, that's a great song, a well-constructed song, but I'm afraid that that one will go away. You know, that's one of those songs that you probably won't hear 20, 30 years from now. Who in a modern popular music is going to re-record that? Not too many. It might be just a little too hokey for most people playing now, but who knows? Lady Gaga has a real old soul. She's very good at finding or feeling those old songs that she does with Tony Bennett. She's doing, she gets hungry for dinner at 8. She loves the theater. She never goes late. She never bothers with people she'd hate. That's why the lady is a tramp. And that's perfect for Lady Gaga.
Oh, for sure.
Now, she's done that over again on this album with Tony Bennett. And
great
and
album. Yeah.
Given some new legs to that song. And that's how it happens. People record a song. Like, guys that are popular right now were brought up with music, like their parents' music or whatever. And if Bruno Mars's parents played a lot of Prince, which they probably did, you know, because he's very Prince-oriented feeling. Kind of, but anyway, he might do a Prince song on a record. He might do a little Red Corvette or 1999 and as a kind of a gag or something, and bring that song to prominence again, and so it'll last for another 20 years, because people 20 years from now will say, oh yeah, I remember that song. That was a Bruno Mars song, right? No, it was a Prince song that Bruno Mars did again. I mean, I have been guilty of that in my childhood, listening to the Beatles and the Stones. Well, the Beatles did some Carl Perkins songs and some Buddy Holly songs, but I never knew anything of Carl Perkins or Buddy Holly or even Smokey Robinson until the Beatles did them. And the Stones were doing the early blues guys, and all of a sudden you knew about Muddy Waters and Jimmy Reed and these great blues guys, you know, that the Stones did. And they even did a great Buddy Holly song. I don't know if you know this is a Buddy Holly song, but the Stones did a song called I'm Gonna Tell You How It's Gonna Be. You're gonna give your love to me. Yeah, and it's Love, Not Fade Away. Not Fade Away is the name of the song. Yeah, and that was originally a Buddy Holly song. Did you know that, Mark?
For sure. Yeah, I like Buddy Holly.
I know, but you're an exception to the rule. Yeah. Buddy Holly, by the way, and I was never a big Buddy Holly fan till much later, but he had 7 number one songs before he turned 21 years old.
Whoa.
When he died at 21, he'd already had 7 number one songs. Did you know that? I'm looking at the camera once in a while. Camera's in a different spot this time, but it's better than have it turned over. Can you see, Mitch? It's actually the Ken Chim show. Ken Chim show that happens here every day, weekday, from 8 to 11. Mitch Hank on MadisonTalks.com does three 1-hour shows with kind of 3 different topics every day. And different guests, and they talk about all kinds of issues. Sometimes he's talking about complete fluff and nonsense, like me. And sometimes it's very issue oriented. And I called in today, and I asked him. I think it was it might have been after the show. Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, I called in and I asked him about these wind farms because I thought he would. Of a guy, anybody around here that would know the politics of clean energy in the Madison area, I would think it would be Mitch Hank. And I called up and asked him. It was a really windy day. that I came down from Wisconsin Dells, like I do every time I come down here on Wednesdays. And I saw the wind farm that's right between Sauk City and Middleton. There's, you know, I think there's two wind farms there, but anyway, there's 6 or 8 or 10 of these gigantic $6 million windmills that are gigantic white structures with kind of pointy, three pointy
Mercedes logos.
yeah, on them. And that really windy day, they weren't turning. And I wondered if they don't turn them on in a windy day like this, what is it? They can't stand a lot of wind, or what? And then I came down today and I thought about it some more, and they were all turned off again today. One was turning very slowly. Okay, maybe there wasn't enough wind. But why were the rest of them turned off? Somebody help me. If you know anything about this, I'm concerned. Does Middleton and Sauk City have so much electricity that they don't need these things to run on windy days? And if they don't run on windy days, and it's because, well, their batteries won't take so much power, you know, they get filled up. Well, do they either have enough electricity, or the batteries in these things won't hold any more electricity than they have, and they just shut them off. I don't understand it.
There could capacitance cap. Yeah.
So then they need more of them. If they run to the maximum of their battery, each unit, they need to have more of them. And so they don't run to the maximum. They could have them turned back. And the other thing that puzzles me about them, and I've asked my science teacher friend about this. He said, well, these turbines are so powerful. You remember the movie The Man of La Mancha or Heidi or any of those? If you're in Europe or Sweden, you see a windmill. They have these gigantic, wide wooden blades that you can blow. Wind can blow through them, right. But they catch a lot of wind. These ones on these $6 million streamlined ones over here by Middleton can't catch a lot of wind. They're like knife blades, the ends of these.
Yeah.
Anyway,
aerodynamics.
That's not what I wanted to talk about anyway. And I brought some jokes. I'm going to lighten it up just a little bit because I brought a lot of songs that I want to see if you think they might be around 50 years from now. They're kind of newish. But they also, all right, these are my jokes that I tell on this show are basically ones that grade schoolers would tell you. You know what I mean? They can't, two brooms got married. They didn't get married. They had relations and produced a little baby broom, and they wondered why the wedding was kind of a shotgun wedding. And somebody asked one of them, "What happened? Why are they having to get married?" Well, because they swept together. You know, it's a broom joke. How about this one? This is kind of some. Did you hear about their two antennas met on a roof, fell in love, and got married? Marriage, the ceremony itself wasn't much, but the reception was excellent. Yeah. Let's see. The invisible man married the invisible woman, and their children weren't much to look at either. Their children weren't much to look at either. Let's see. A guy walks into the bar with a slab of asphalt under his arm, and he says, "Give me a drink, and I'll take one for the road." It's a piece of asphalt, you know. And this is what I should be doing. I shouldn't be talking about windmills or old songs, you know. How about, this is a true story. I went to the store to buy some camouflage pants, and I couldn't see any. I couldn't find any anywhere. The camouflage pants were just, never mind. A man says to his doctor, "Doc, you got to help me. I can't stop singing the green, green grass of home." And the doctor said, well, that's easy. That you have Tom Jones syndrome. And he says, well, is that serious? Is that unusual? And he says, well, is that uncommon? Is that fatal? Is it? He says, it's not unusual. It's not unusual. I should have just read it instead of telling him. All right. The doctor says, oh, how's it going? Is that common? Asked the patient. No, it's not unusual. All right. Somebody call in. The number is 210-1667. Help me out here. By the way, I told you, we're sponsored by Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells, and Tom Field and his brothers, my bosses, have treated me really good for over 10 years now. It's the most amazing job, Mike, as a musician. It's 10 years, I just walk in and turn on the stuff, and then play for a little while and turn it off and go home.
Yeah,
you know, no setting up equipment, no looking for work. What do most musicians? I mean, I've fallen so far out of the stereotypical musician lifestyle that I don't even hardly drink or womanize or do drugs anymore. You know, I mean, I very seldom, when I'm down to two or three times a week with the LSD.
Oh.
I mean, God, yeah.
That's nice.
You know, that's not true. You know, I'm just saying, it's not a typical job, and I really have appreciated these guys for over 10 years and over 2,000 nights. They've let me stand where I stand and sing what I sing, and they've never told me, come up sometime. You won't believe it. It's kind of a large kidney-shaped bar, and I put my keyboard right on the bar. So it's like a big piano bar with 40 seats at it.
Yeah, cool.
And I can talk to people across the bar, and they request songs, and some of them act a fool, and we get fun, having some fun. And that's good. But in that time, I've never had any manager or any owner say, come up to you and say, Brian, don't play that. Or can you play more of this other stuff? Or can you turn it up or turn it down?
Yeah,
or any,
cool.
Nobody
yeah.
ever. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the reason I brought that up is because the reason I was late to the podcast today was because I was setting up my equipment at Me and Julio's in Fitchburg, which I'm going to play a few Wednesdays down there. Just because the owner of the place was in Sorrento's a number of times, and he dropped his business card in my tip jar. And I finally got down there, and he offered me some Wednesdays. And today, I had to set up equipment. And I, after I get done playing 6 to 8 p.m. tonight, I'm going to have to take it down, put it back in my car, and take it back to my house and put it in the shed. I mean,
that
I haven't done that for years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monks all over Wisconsin, Sorrento's at the Wilderness, here on Madison Talks. It's the Brian Beebe Show.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
He's got a guy, Mitch Hank, has a guy, a friend of his, that knows a lot about the ecology and the energy systems, you know. And I bet you anything, he's on the phone right now talking to this guy and figuring out this windmill situation for us. You know, if you're anywhere near the Madison or Dells area and you drive down 12, you know where I'm talking about, right after Sauk City. On the right-hand side, before you get to Middleton, are these 8 or 10 huge white structures. And they, I don't know, as much as I come down here, it seems like they're almost never turned on. Well, I happen to see, because I watch the American Pickers and you learn a lot of stuff, that these units are like $6 million a piece. No, it was actually storage wars, so that isn't quite as valid as a source as American Pickers is. That these great big windmills are like $6 million bucks a piece. Now, I was thinking if they never turn, or if they turn like 3 days a month or whatever, 10 days a month, and let's just say they generate $30 worth of electricity in a day, each one, right?
Sure, say hope it's more than 90, that.
All right, say 100, $300 a month when they're turned on like a little bit. Do you know how long it takes to get to $6 million?
Lifetimes.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot pay for the damn thing. I don't know how. There's politics behind it. I know somebody's ripping somebody off. But there it is. That's the windmill story. Help us out. Are you a believer in? I don't know anything about it. I don't know enough about it to debate it with you, because I'm always wrong about stuff. But do you believe in global warming or climate change, or whatever what do you like to call it, first of all? Is it global warming? Is it a trend that's going to go on forever until we blow up? Or is it climate change that goes up and down and changes back and forth and like that? All right. Let me ask you this. I want you to call in. Songs of ours, my childhood. Let's see, 50s, 60s, and 70s. I wasn't even around. I wasn't listening to music much in the 50s, but I play some 50s music because I have to for crowds that I get. Now, where's my... What do I do with my glasses? They're probably on my head. No, they're not.
No?
All right, here they are. How about... What songs are going to be around? What songs are we going to sit around? I imagine sometimes moving to Florida... And playing in a piano bar, you know, even 10 years from now for me, and having people in their 70s and 80s say to me, hey man, you haven't played no Eagles yet. You haven't played no Bob Seger. And there's toothless 80-year-old people, and they say, Hotel California. You know what I mean? It's going to be us. You know, the piano bar thing was our parents' thing. You go to a lounge, and in the old days, there was lots of piano bars, and you would come, and you'd feel comfortable coming to a piano bar even by yourself, a woman, man, other way, and sitting at the piano bar and listening to the music, and you would meet people. It was a very social thing to do, and I've played at piano bars where this happened, and they request songs, and they sing along with whoever's playing, and it was a very kind of a 40s and 50s thing, the dark, cold lounges that advertised air conditioning. Remember the old days when you'd go to a place, you'd walk into a place on the street just because it was air conditioned. You know, that was fun, but these places were cold and dark, and the piano guy was drunk, and he's playing the old songs, and everybody's singing along, and And I'm kind of carrying that on, but I don't know if that'll happen in the future. Somebody just called in. Who is it?
Ed McMahon.
Ed?
Your friend Ed.
Oh, hey, man. Is this Ed McMahon?
Yes. You are correct, sir.
What are you doing that's so important that you're not sitting here next to me laughing at the jokes, man?
Well, I can't think of anything that's more important, so I'll tell you that, at least. And I just was taking some photos of the new tactical weapons store in Wisconsin Dells. There really is one.
What did you call it?
A tactical weapons store
in Wisconsin Dells.
Yes.
I'm not sure I want people to know that. Can we back that up and erase that? That's not true,
yeah,
is it, man?
You want to erase me?
No, no.
And this is in the Dells. So that's,
no, it
yeah,
can't
that,
be.
What's that?
And what do they sell, drones and stuff?
They don't sell drones. They actually sell all manner. This guy works with law enforcement all over the country. He sells weaponry to, I think, qualified people who know what to do with them.
And, he sells them to what, unqualified, you said, or qualified?
No, qualified.
Oh, so you have to have a license to buy this stuff, or what?
I don't know what the... Yeah,
training?
Not,
probably not.
Tell me where in the Dells it is.
It's on Broadway.
On Broadway, okay.
It's
so,
on Plum Street.
So if I told people on the air that I was going to light the place up and bomb it sometimes and get rid of it, would I be in trouble instantly?
Yes, you would.
Okay,
I
didn't say
trouble.
That then. I'm not going to bomb it.
Okay.
If it gets bombed, it's not me that did it.
I didn't suggest
I just don't think it should be there, though. Don't you? Do you? I mean, I'm not anti-gun, but that's kind of strange for downtown Wisconsin Dells. You know, it's supposed to be T-shirts and fudge and little kids licking ice cream cones, you know?
I will say this, Osvick. I know what you mean. They do have T-shirts there, I'll add.
They have T-shirts at the tactical weapons store?
Yes, they do.
All right,
very impressive.
What
very
do they
impressive
say?
Couple that runs it. Very
and,
impressive
and what
do
the T-shirts
it.
Say?
I'm sure it's something really sober.
The end is near, and let's load up with bullets. Hey, I don't know how you feel about this weaponry stuff, and I don't want to take anybody's guns or you know any of that stuff, but. Let's just be real here for a minute, Ed. If the government really wanted to come and get everybody's guns, do you think that the weaponry, if you know, a guy's got 150 rifles, okay, or pistols, is that going to be enough to make the government leave his door? Okay, yeah, this guy, we can't get his guns because he's got too much, you know? I mean, no, they can. They have, the government has weaponry that we don't even know about.
Yep.
They could, if they wanted our guns, they would have them. Nobody could resist.
That's an interesting point, and it is an opinion, so I can't really give you an opinion as long as I'm employed where I am.
Oh, I see. Yeah, you. By the way, this my friend that's on the phone is Ed Legg, and he works for Capital Newspapers, and all he did was state the fact that he was taking pictures and interviewing somebody instead of being here laughing at my lame jokes. So I mean, you can't hold that against him, man. Hey, Ed is also a great musician, and a music fan.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Now, you have had a chance to think about all the songs that you played as a kid and that you listened to as a kid. Which ones of them seem to you like they might be around even 30, 40, 50 years from now?
That's a great question. I actually turned on my radio last night. I'll just say it was not this station, which I always listen to, even in my car. But I happened to turn on the radio and an errant station was on, and Strawberry Fields was on.
Oh, yeah.
And I certainly found myself thinking what incredible artistic output those guys did.
Yeah.
And how enduring it is.
Yeah, true enough. But here's the thing with the Beatles, Ed.
Yes.
A song like Strawberry Fields, although it was artistic and great and it was important to us, it would not on its own last forever because it's not one that people sing or can sing or even want to sing. The only reason that will survive, and it will, is because it's surrounded by so many great other songs by the Beatles that people do like and sing along with and maybe would record again. See, the other thing about recording a song again, like one of the reasons nobody's going to ever record Strawberry Fields again is because it can't improve on the original. There's no way to rearrange that so that it would be better when you recorded it over than when the Beatles recorded it. But take a song like Twist and Shout or This Happened Once Before, When I Came to Your Door, No Reply. I mean, that's one that somebody might do again on a record. But the Beatles are a separate case. They have so many songs, they don't need anything else to propel them into 50 or 100 years from now. What's another one?
I'll throw one out that's probably going
to
be
Born to Be Wild. Is that one that'll be around? I think it might be.
I like Magic Carpet Ride better, but the one I was going to throw out there for a conversation is Free Bird.
Yeah. You know, that's one that the children of the drunk rednecks that like that song are going to, they're going to know that because it played every day in their childhood, you know. Yeah, I understand. I think that's a good one. That will be around. And you know what? The other thing is about, let's go back to our parents' age. They don't all like the same kinds of songs from their childhood, but there was two styles, basically. There was the ballad style. If they weren't country, which is, you know, the old-fashioned bluegrass stuff, then there was the ballads, like I'll Never Smile Again, Frank Sinatra, 1939, or there was swing stuff, you know, Flatfoot Flew You With Floyd, and that, you know, maybe that person that likes I'll Never Smile Again wouldn't like Flatfoot Fuji, you know? So, I mean, and there will be people in our future that like Free Bird, and a ton of them that just hate it, you know? And if I was playing a piano bar 20, 25 years from now, and somebody, I'd have the same problems because the old people would be sitting there, hey, man, play a little Hanky Panky by Tommy James and the Shonda, you know, and then somebody else would say, are you kidding me, man? Free Bird! And I'd...
That's very true. That's a really good point.
They wouldn't agree on them, you know, but I want to know which ones somebody, and a large number of people will remember years from now. Somebody's on the phone, man. Can you hold on or can you call?
Yeah, I'll hold on.
Hold on. Throw yourself into this next conversation. I don't know who it is.
Okay.
But who is it?
Your boy Rob's
calling. My son Rob. This is great. Now, I'm trying to get the young people's perspective, and all I got is me and Ed, and we're both, you know, over 100 years old. He's like 130, and I'm 110. You know, so...
You're correct, sir!
Yeah, we need the young guys...
There you go.
My son, I'm ringing here, man, with the tuna. You got it? Hello, Rob.
Hey, man.
What's happening? What are you just doing down there today?
Well, listening to this conversation about music and stuff. Yeah.
Well, you know, I know you have always liked music. Way back when you were very young, you had, Run DMC albums, and I can remember... And you and I talked about this one time, and I said, what songs are going to be from your generation you think will be around 50, 100 years from now? Ones that we know. I mean, do we know any of them?
From my childhood, I was just thinking, a lot of that, I don't know, like the Boyz II Men stuff and the Mariah Carey stuff the Whitney Houston stuff. And, that kind of stuff, popular music, is the only stuff that I could really think of that...
Will last.
Be around
You know, I thought about, now you tell me if I'm wrong, but I thought about, you gotta fight for your right to party.
Right.
I mean, isn't that a classic?
The rock and the grunge.
I mean, years from now, two guys in a bar after a couple of drinks and they're talking about music, will that come up?
I don't know about that one. I think that's one that's got to be reused again, like you said, like get it in a movie, get it in a commercial or something, and then get people talking about that song again, kind of.
Yeah.
I wonder if something by Carole King will be.
Yeah, from our generation, Carole King will be around. I mean, Natural, I so. Natural Woman, and
that's the one I'm thinking.
And yep. All that stuff from Tapestry. But I got my son on the line, what about? I mean, you talked about
Rob.
You got the early Bon Jovi stuff that was going on.
Bon Jovi was good. Some of the Aerosmith stuff from the early 90s.
Yeah. I don't think that, you know, we don't want just the Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston stuff to, unless you're talking about, I want to dance with somebody. I want to heat with somebody. She did a lot of cool rockin' songs, too. Yeah. And so did Mariah, but. What about the guys? I mean,
I've brainstormed and couldn't really come up with anything
that felt like
that sounds lasting. Yeah.
Well, you're surprised. What were the big songs that all you and your buddies all kind of agreed were great when you were 14, 15?
I mean, a lot of that was the age of, like, the Nirvana had just come out,
yeah.
And all the Green Day had just come out,
yes.
And stuff like that.
No,
yeah.
I think you might be right there. Nirvana could very much, Teen Spirit and Green Day with, do you have the time to listen to me? See, everybody can sing them, and everybody can hear the words, and they know the words, so they can be repeated easily, you know? I like that.
Smells like Teen Spirit. I have a hard time thinking that one's
so
topical.
But you know, they're not for us. Not for us, Ed.
Yeah.
We're going to be
That's
dead
right,
and gone.
Buddy.
And
Rob's
friends, when they're old and gray, will be remembering stuff from when they were 12, 13, 14, 15, like we are, you know? I mean, that's the way.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody likes the same music, the music that they heard when they were 12, 13, in high school or junior high school, you know, because those are the ones that they first fell in love to. I mean, Whitney Houston, I like, you know, Saving All My Love for You, but I don't know if it's forever, you know, and I do some Whitney Houston, and you know, that one that... I believe the children are future. Well, and let them lead the way. You know that one?
Yeah.
How about I Will Always Love You, which is a Dolly Parton song.
Will always love you. Well, I tell you this, the karaoke, young karaoke girls 50 years from now will remember that one, because that was...
Okay.
Karaoke has created classics out of non-classics, like... Patsy Cline. Patsy Cline was long gone until karaoke came along, and all of a sudden there were people doing crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. And those songs were not around until there was karaoke, and these guys said, okay. And then they did those songs, and that one, go out walking after midnight out in the star. Those are karaoke classics, you know, and they will be around.
I had no idea that was the case, Brian.
Oh, yeah,
that's really interesting.
You look back and see if you heard.
You bring up a point.
Yeah.
What's going to unearth these songs? I wonder if a song by the Monkees is going to be big.
Oh, sure. Especially, you know, because I'm a believer. In it.
Exactly.
Smash Mouth did that again in the 80s and gave that one big new life. You remember that one, Rob?
Yep.
I'm a believer.
They put it in the Shrek movie. Shrek, that was the 90s.
Yeah. Yes. You know, that will be around for a long time. I'm a believer.
You just brought something up, though, Rob. What about these songs they play at sports events, like that Gary Glitter song, Rock and Roll Part 1 or 2 or whatever?
I don't think, but that doesn't have any words, for one thing, except for rock and roll, and roll, rock and roll. Doesn't that might be around, but I mean, what's going to sustain it?
Which Stone song do you think will be around? Will it be Start Me Up?
Well, no, but Satisfaction will be around. It's been voted number one rock song for so many times. I mean, I think that even people, kids, like, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, but even in your generation, kids have respect for the song Satisfaction, don't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just works. And I think somebody could come up with a Sublime version, a rock and or kind of a rock and reggae version of Satisfaction and give that new life forever.
The song that sticks out in my brain that will be like the most lasting, one of the most lasting of all time will be like Bohemian Rhapsody or something.
Oh, sure. Even though like we can't song, sing that or play it, yeah, I think.
When it came out, when it got re-released in Wayne's World, kind of got new life, and then ever since then, it's just. Picks up steam because they just get used so much.
Oh, Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia!
I
can see drunk 70-year-old guys from your generation in the future doing that, Rob. You know,
and then,
I paid my dues. You know, that yellow
working
one.
Working in the bars that have jukeboxes, people play that song in the jukebox all the time.
Oh, yeah. So, right now. You mean right now, yeah. And we are the champions, my friends. Because every time a soccer match plays anywhere in the world, they do that one. Hey, I got to go, you guys. Both of you. Somebody else is on the line here in case. Thank you calling. Okay. Hey, Ed, give me the you are correct, so one more time, man.
Tell them what my name is, and then I'll say
Ed McMahon. Ed Legg.
You're correct, sir.
L-E-G-G-E. Check him out on Capital Newspapers. Rob, thanks for calling in. You got anybody else? You got any other songs quick that you... What about Phil Collins in the 80s? Easy Lover, any of that stuff? David Bowie?
The old Bob Marley stuff is going to go on.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. Bob Marley will be around.
Maybe Peter Gabriel stuff.
Peter Gabriel, in your generation, the pot smokers and like that hung around with Mike Brockenfeld, you know, that were definitely Peter Gabriel and Bob Marley. Thanks a lot for calling in, Rob. You made the show, man.
All right. See
ya. Talk to you later. I love you later. I said, who we got, man?
Steve Nelson.
Who?
Steve.
Stevie Ray Nelson? Oh, man. Nobody knows more about music than this guy right here. I mean, I like to think that I... Stevie, are you there?
I'm here, but I don't deserve that kind
of
accolade.
Yes, you do.
I had good teachers like you.
No,
I mean, you were around. You were the man.
No.
You were the go-to guy. How does this song go? You had the lyrics. I just happened to have a little... bits of the song that when I would accompany you would fit, talking to you again.
Yeah, it is nice talking to you again. You were down for the count for a number of weeks, and
nice
to have you back. Let me build you up. Let me build you up for the sake of my audience. This Stevie Ray Nelson, even though he lives in Toma, Wisconsin, and he has a recording studio up there called Tomacos, which is kind of a good description of that community. We played up there a number of times years ago and tried to get things lit up in Toma, and it just couldn't be done. I hope they're not listening up there in Toma as I run the place down.
No. We did develop a rather good following at a place called Carlson for about a year. And it was on a Wednesday, which is pretty much unheard of,
You can't
do Wednesday. What are you going to do, from 6 to 9 or whatever it was?
You can't do Wednesday 69 and turn a town on its ear. But, Toma has a little bit of, it has some basic problems. I stayed overnight one time, and this place, and I don't mind if a hotel... has like signs up in different places that say, pardon our dust, we're remodeling or something like this.
Oh, sure.
But this hotel in Toma said, sorry about the sheets.
What?
Yeah.
Well, I don't even want to know
what. Get on the drums here for this. Sorry.
I thought it was real.
Sorry about the sheets. Get the drums, man. Where's the drums?
Try the veal. Yeah, right.
There it is.
I think I know what the hotel was, and it no longer exists.
I'll guess when
next time we have a conversation.
The other thing I thought a lot of things were strange about Toma, but I went through the drive-through window at the bank, right downtown there, and they oddly enough at the drive-through, they had instructions in Braille. Instructions on how to use the drive-thru, and they were written in Braille.
That's true.
Do you think
it's true.
Anyway, that's enough about poor Toma. Toma, Wisconsin, the home of Barry Clark and Toma. Is Toma.
Yes, Barry says hello.
Sells hundreds of thousands of guitars every month. But anyway, Thank you for calling in, man. And give us a little country perspective, because there's more and more country fans all the time, although they fade in and out, Stevie.
Yeah. Although, I am kind of pigeonholed as country, but I'm not just doing it. Oh, right. As far as what is concerned now?
Let me frame the question. In the 90s, right. Line dancing, I mean, I played a lot of country then because it filled the dance floor, the line dancers. And then it faded away and country bars closed up all over the place. But it's kind of made a big, big comeback in a radio way anyway. And you're playing everything. You play in old-fashioned country and you play new modern country, mm-hmm. and rock and roll and stuff. What do you got for a song? You think any Willie Nelson things will be around 50 years from now? Or?
Oh, absolutely. Anything by Willie, I'm thinking Kenny Rogers. Although I would love to see
Time to Leave Me, Lucille, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm talking like me, the Hank Sr. and that stuff. That's going to...
Yeah, yeah. Good looking.
Absolutely.
Watch.
But yeah, I would love to see some of the other stuff that the people are like Ray Price and perhaps Loretta Lynn and maybe delve into. I hope that the younger folks get a chance to, if they're interested in the newer country, get into where the roots were. And there's some just good writing there.
Yeah.
You know, it isn't just, you know, I lost my dog, and actually I did this week.
Yeah,
too,
that's...
So I'm talking about that. Anyway,
you said, why did you bring that up? You're going to be crying in a moment now.
Let me
tell you some more about Stevie Ray, and let's hope that you can get on your feet and get back playing so that you can join me again sometime soon. But he picked up a guitar at 4 years old and started playing Chet Atkins and finger picking in that style. And so he has a lot of the early George Harrison and the Beatles stuff has that Chet flavored stuff. And he even played
was a big Chet
country
fan,
gentleman
absolutely.
Guitar just like the Chuck Chet's and you do that stuff so well. What
Thank
else
you.
What we're talking about songs that'll be around. What new, you got any new modern songs you think will be around for another 50 years?
I don't know, but I'm liking Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
I'm liking what some of the stuff that I'm listening to, I'm watching The Tonight Show and Jimmy Kimmel Live and some of these where they have the outdoor concerts and stuff like that. And there's some stuff out there. And this is weird. I know you're going to think I'm almost 60 years old. Like, why does he listen to it? I heard Panic at the Disco.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that one guy?
Yeah, and you know what else?
It's one guy, and it just has a band behind him, and he calls himself a band name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, and then I finally heard him. I'm like, God, this is good.
Yeah.
So,
and you know what? Jimmy Fallon could easily be responsible for taking a 70s or 80s song and launching it into the future, because he loves that stuff. And when they play like... sitting in the bar stool, looking like a damn fool. That Styx song, and the whole place gets turned. He gets up and dances. The whole place comes apart. What is that?
Mm-hmm.
All Night to Get There. What's the name of that song, man?
Too Much Time on My Hands by
Styx.
Right.
That's going to be around. And Jimmy Fallon could launch more songs. Hey, we got to go pretty quick here, man. Nice talking to you.
I knew I had to tune in, man.
About 2 minutes to go here. You recently haven't been well and can't get up and play much now, but you have a full-time job with a fabulous band, a country band up by you called Maggie May and Heartland Country that's on TV. They fill the Crystal Grand when they play there.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have filled the Crystal Grand a number of times, but only as an opening act for somebody else.
Yeah, still always a fun time to play that room. Though
we play there, and we've opened up for Stevie and I have opened up for Three Dog Night and Air Supply and Pat Benatar and
REO Speedwagon,
Rick Springfield. America, do you remember? KC and the Sunshine Band. It's fun. When we play there, we start playing, and there's like 200 people there. second song, there's 400.
It starts filling up, and
By the fifth song, there's 600 people there. And by the time we've done with 10 songs, there's 2,000 people. It's really a fun experience, you know.
Yeah, but there is a bar there, so they're liking it. Yeah. By the, you know, seventh or eighth song, you know, by the time we're done with it.
How about this one? I just looked down at my songs here. What about Don't Stop Believing? What about it, kids? Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Is that going to be around for 50 years?
I think anything by by Journey.
Ooh, look at all the little hearts I got on my screen from just even mentioning that song.
Let me throw in one of my top favorite on my playlist. Now everybody's got me pigeonholed. No, well, I hope not everybody.
Well,
as a country guitar player.
Be prepared for me to tell you you're all completely wrong, all right? Go ahead.
Superstition
by
Stevie Wonder. Anything by Stevie Wonder will outlive any of us and two generations behind.
And that's partly because Stevie Ray picked it up. Stevie Ray.
But
anyway, we
got to
go, man. I want to just tell everybody, thank you, Stevie. Thanks for calling. I'll talk to you soon. The Brian Beebe Show is sponsored by Monk's Bar and Grill all over Wisconsin. There's two of them in the Dells. One's got a great theater in the basement. We do a lot of concerts with the Stevens Point Brewery. And also Sorrento's at the Wilderness. It's a great family. It's a beautiful restaurant, but it's a family-oriented thing. And I play at the bar four nights a week. And tonight, if you're in Madison or anywhere near, and just stall for a while, hang out somewhere, and go to me and Julio's tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll be playing my first time there, me and Julio's in Fitchburg. And anyway, I got to go. A big thank you to Mike Brockeveld running the controls and answering the phone. And Mitch Hank didn't call in today, damn bastard. Anyway, we'll see you next time on The Brian Beebe Show. Bye-bye.